All right, Rabotai, Beruchim Abaim. We're lucky that we're able to have another session before the Chag Shavuot. It gives us a chance to mentally prepare for the upcoming Chag. So if you'll allow me to digress from our normally scheduled program, which is Chavot HaLevavot, and direct my comments the upcoming Chag. For tonight's Derash, I chose a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. And we're in the Pirkei Avot season, so I have every right to give a Derash on the Pirkei Avot. Kod Yisrael yesh lehem chelek le'olam haba shene'emar ve'amech kolam sadikim le'olam yirshu ares neser mata'ay ma'ase yadai le'etpa'er. Hu haya omer Habib Adam שנברא בצלם, חיבה יתרה נודעתו שנברא בצלם שנאמר, כי בצלם אלוהים עשה את האדם. חביבים ישראל שנקראו בנים למקום, חיבה יתרה נודעת להם שנקראו בנים למקום שנאמר, בנים אתם לאדוני אלוהיכם. חביבים ישראל שניתן להם כלי חמדה, חיבה יתרה נודעת להם שניתן להם כלי חמדה שבו נברא העולם שנאמר, כי לקח טוב נתתי לכם, תורתי אל תעזובו. The author of tonight's Mishnah is none other than Rabbi Akiva. Who היה אומר? He says, Habib Adam, man is beloved. Meaning, Hashem loves man so much. Habib Adam, whenever you say, guy, Habibi, Habibi. God says to man, Ya Habibi, I love you, Habib Adam. What makes it that God loves us? So Rabbi Akiva says, "Shenivra betzelim, we're created in the image of God." Whatever that means, I mean, God doesn't have an image actually. En lo guf, ve'en lo demut haguf. You're not allowed to even imagine God having any physical attributes. So we'll have to see
what he means
when he says that we're created, but. More than that, he says, "Chiba noda'at." It's a sign of even a greater love that he told us. You see, it's one thing for a reality to be, but if you don't know about this reality, so then we cannot appreciate it. So it's true we're created in Selim Elokim, but even more so, God told it to us. If I come along and I put $1 million. In a trust for you, so you're a millionaire. But if you don't know about it, so then it only is one way love. I love you, but I gave it to you, but I didn't tell you about it. So the Mishnah says, that God made us aware of it. Shneemar ki betzelim Elohim asa et haadam. Pasuk says in Bereshit, "Ki betzelem Elohim bara et Adam." That God created us in the tzelem Elohim.
The tzelem image.
In the image, whatever that means, the image. Now,
not the magazine.
No, that's for sure not. On this, there's a question. I went to look. Where is this pasuk? Because the Mishnah is only quoting part of the pasuk. This pasuk actually is in Bereshit. It's in Bereshit, chapter 1. The pasuk says, "Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam, damo yishafech." It's actually the pasuk that introduces the sin of murder. That if somebody spills somebody else's blood, his blood will be spilled. Why? Ki betzelem Elohim asa et ha'adam. Because after all, man is created betzelem Elohim. Now, the question is, that's not the main point of the pasuk ki betzelem. The main point of that pasuk is to teach us the law of shofech dam ba'adam ba'adam. That pasuk primarily is talking about murder. Happens to be at the end of the pasuk, it mentions ki betzelem Elohim. Now, if you wanted to prove that human beings were created betzelem Elohim, there's a much more beautiful pasuk. In the same chapter, a couple of pasukim before, ויאמר אלוהים נעשה אדם בצלמנו כדמותנו. Then you don't gotta get involved in Verda and all this other stuff. You're trying to prove that man was created b'tzelem Elohim. Quote me the beautiful pasuk. Na'aseh Adam b'tzalmenu k'dmotenu. Beautiful, period. No, instead Rabbi Akiva chooses a pasuk. Shofech dam Adam ba'adam damo yishafech. Oh, you know why? Ki b'tzelem Elohim nevra Adam. Fine, let's go further. Habibim Yisrael shenikru banim lemakom. We are called banim. God calls us his children. It's even a greater love that God told us that we're called his sons. Shne'emar banim atem lahashem Elohechem. God says in Parashat Devarim, I have it opened here, banim atem lahashem Elohechem. Which means you are children of God. Now, can I read the whole pasuk to you? Banim atem lahashem Elohechem is in Devarim Yudalid. The pasuk over here says, Banim atem lahashem Elohechem, lo tetgodedu velo tasimu korcha ben enechem lamet. The pasuk says over here, you're the children of God. And therefore, when somebody passes away, don't rip your hair out, and don't do all these scratches on your body. Don't react in such a way. Banim atem lahashem, lo tetgodedu velo tasimu korcha ben enechem lamet. The goyim, when somebody passed away, would scratch themselves, and they would mutilate their bodies. But I said, you're the child of God. Don't do that. Now, what does that got to do with anything? Which you're the child of God. So the explanation is like this. We look at Bar Minan, death, as really not death. We look at it as a departure, that the person that's living on earth is going back home. It's like a father sent his son on a business trip, and then after the business trip is over, he comes back home. So therefore, God is our father. And therefore, when God forbid somebody passes away, that means the father's calling him back up. He's a son. You went out for your purpose. You're coming back. So the Torah says, don't overreact. You're a child of God. The father's calling you back home. But by the goyim, that they're not called the children of God, when they pass away, they pass away. It's not going back home to their father. So therefore, there's no need to make that overreaction. Interesting again. The proof that Rabbi Akiva chooses for banim atem lahashem has got to do with the law of if somebody dies, don't... If I was bringing a proof that we're children of God, I would have brought a simple proof. When the Jewish people are in Egypt, what does God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Go tell Paro, Beni Bechori Yisrael. Go tell them that they're starting up with my firstborn son. And if you don't stop messing around with my firstborn son, I'm going after your firstborn sons. It's a beautiful pasuk. Nothing to do with dying and mutilating your body. You know, it's simple. Beni Bechori Yisrael. Now, I have an answer to that, by the way. Although tonight I'm going to give a different answer. In previous years, we gave the following answer based on something that was said by Rav Elchanan Wasserman Hashem Yimkom Dama. He said that the Jewish people are called the children of God. Like we just read in the Pasuk, Banim Atem Lashem Elokechem. However, in Egypt, God referred to us as his firstborn son. Now, if you say that we're his firstborn son, that means the goyim are his second and thirdborn, but sons, but banim. So Rav Elchanan Wasserman asks, well, make up your mind. Are we the exclusive ben, or are they also considered ben? Because the fact that he calls us Bani Bechori, you're not called a ben Bechor unless you have other banim which make you a Bechor. But this pasuk says, no, banim atem, it sounds like atem velohem. So he makes the contradiction between two pasukim. Rav Elchanan Wasserman answers the following answer. Kan kodem matan Torah, kan ahar matan Torah. Before matan Torah, you're my Bechor. But everybody else is a ben also. once we already accepted the Torah, then God says, Banim Atem, you have a deen of a ben, and therefore nobody else has any you're out. Exactly. God came to the Goyim, by the way, and offered them the Torah. They refused it. He refused it. You, not only did you are you not getting the Torah, you fall in status. You don't have a deen of ben. And by the way, there's big advantages to have a deen of a ben. I know some of you are thinking, what's the difference, ben? What's the ben? It's just semantics. You're calling me a ben. Do I have a benefit because I'm a ben? Of course you have a benefit. I'll tell you one benefit. One benefit is that the Torah says a halakha, a father can forgive his son, but a king cannot forgive his subjects. A king has to keep law and order, and therefore if the subjects rebel, the king has to execute. But a father, Abshema alal kevodo, kevodo ma'ul. So because we're a child, God can forgive us. Whereas the Goyim lost that status of Ben, so therefore they don't get these status. They're a subject, and God's a king. We refer to God as a king, but we also say Avinu Malkenu. So see, even though you're a king, you're first Avinu. So a father, when he comes into court, and he sees the father's the judge, and he sees his son's on trial, the father says, let him go. What do you let him go? He's my son. He gives him a courtesy. But there's another benefit. This what I'm telling you now, I heard from Acham Avadya Yosef, alav shalom, many years ago when we visited him in one of my trips. There's a famous Gemara that says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the heavens to get the Torah, so the angels, they protested. It's a Gemara Shabbat, page 88. Shalom, Moshe Lamarom, the Kabbalah of the Torah. The angels came along and said, "Mali Lunisha Benenu, what is this guy doing over here?" Forget about they didn't put a red carpet for him. Forget about they didn't put tea and crumpets for a reception. They came along and said, "What is he doing here? What is he doing here?" They didn't sing songs, they didn't put the flags up, nothing. What is he doing here? So God says he came to get the Torah. Came to get the Torah? No way. We're not letting go of it. We're not letting go of it. So now there's a situation going on. There's a situation. So God tells Moshe, they have a claim. Answer them. You have to answer them. So God says, I don't know what Moshe says, I'm scared. God says, do me a favor. Hold on to the kisiyat kavod and give them an answer. Azel lahem teshuvah. Give them an answer. What was the claim of the angels? It doesn't say. It just said, the Torah should stay by us. Why? When you make a claim in a court, you have to substantiate it. You can't just say, Reuven owes me $1 million. Why? Because I said. Okay, I say I don't. That's it. You can't play a court like that. If I come along and yesh the ta'ana, I have to have proof. You have a document, you have witnesses, you have anything to substantiate it. So the angels come along and say, Torah belongs to us. What's your proof? So Chama Vadya Alav HaShalom said from the Hidah that they had a very good proof. Actually from the Torah itself. What's the Torah's proof? Torah says that if you're in real estate and you're selling properties, V'asita ayashar v'atof. Torah says you have to be straight. And make sure you have to do what's right. What does it mean to do what's right? So the Torah says that you should always give right of first refusal to your neighbor. It's the right thing. The neighbor benefits from the property more than an outsider. He could extend his house, he could knock it down, make a yard. He could put his kids there. The outsider, what do you get to live over there? Live over there. That the Gemara refers to as the law of Bar Metzra. Bar Metzra means the neighbor has rights. So the angels came along and said, God Almighty, this Torah, we've been living next to it for 974 generations. Now you're selling it. This guy, Moshe, comes from earth. He's an outsider. We're the bar mitzvah. We've been the loyal neighbor of this Torah for so many years. Your book says v'asita yashar v'atov. That's it. We have rights of first refusal. We're executing our right. We want it finished. That's it. We're the neighbor. We're the bar mitzvah. So now God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, give him an answer. It's a good claim. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, but I'm afraid. They spit fire. God says, hold on to the Kisei HaKavod. Ehoz b'Kisei Kavodi v'hazor lahem teshuvah, and give them an answer. Ahzer lahem teshuvah. Give them an answer. So Achav Avadya answered unbelievable. It's answer. I'm good. Okay, drop more. That's a good pile. So now, So now, Kawaja said like this. He had a case. A guy was selling a house, and he knows he has to go to the neighbor first. So the rabbi told him to go to the neighbor. So he went to the neighbor. The neighbor said, no, I'm not interested. Beautiful. He felt like a good. He followed the law of the Torah. The neighbor said, no, and I could sell it to the outside market. He put the for sale sign on. Guy came from the outside. He gave him a $50,000 deposit. They signed the contract. That night, the seller's son comes over and says, that his son, the seller's son, Beno. He says, Dad, where's the for sale sign? He's with her. Wish me mazal tov. Already, I'm in contract. We sold it. He said, oh, you didn't come to me. How come you didn't come to me? He said, who are you? You're not my neighbor. You're my son. I don't got to come to you. I'm your son. What do you mean? I'm bigger than a neighbor. I never heard that law. Let's call the rabbi. He says this case was brought down in Shitamiku Betzet, and they actually came to the rabbi called the Rif, Rabbi Yitzhak Alfasi. And Rabbi Alfasi ruled a neighbor is, a son is even closer than a neighbor. It's the flesh and blood. So therefore, you rip up the contract, give back the $50,000, the sale is nullified, you give it to the son, or you sell it to the son. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes along, and he tells the angels, you're right, bar mitzvah, but this Torah that you're talking about, what does it say? Banim atem la'ashem. Banim atem la'ashem. And therefore, you're a bar mitzvah, we're banim. Therefore, banim have a... Exactly. Now look what I noticed. Kamariya didn't say this part. Where do we learn this law? Watch this over here. Where do we learn this law? That you have to do the right thing when it comes to bar mitzvah. So the pasuk says over here, "Ki tishma bekol Hashem Eduhecha, lishmor et kol mitzvotav, asher anuchi mitzvecha yom, la'asot hayashar be'enei Hashem." It is from this pasuk, la'asot hayashar, that the Gemara learns the law of bar mitzvah. So if you're going to read this pasuk, you're going to say, "Wait, la'asot hayashar." So we don't deserve the Torah. The angels do. What's the next pasuk? Banim atem la'ashem elokechem. The Torah comes along and answers it in the next pasuk. That your banim, and therefore since your banim, the law of bar mitzvah doesn't apply. And I added to the Hadush of Da'akam. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave the answer, there was a risk over here. Maybe he doesn't know the answer. God told them, give him an answer. I'll send them to Shuvah. Maybe he doesn't know the answer. And if he doesn't get the answer right, then there's no more Torah. So this is a very pivotal exchange over here. My theory is that God gave him the answer. You know, sometimes teachers, they whisper the answer in your ear. When we were in school, we used to have a teacher. We didn't know the answer to the question. We used to tell the teacher, could you read the question again for us over here? That's a way of saying, help us out. And then we would point to A, and she would nod her head. And we know it's not A. Then we point to B, and she nods her head. Then we point to C, and she says, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. No, that's the answer. So that's a good teacher. So you think Hashem's not going to tell Moshe the answer? Of course he's going to tell him the answer. So what did he tell him? Remember what I told you, that one of the advantages of being a son is? Being a son is God could forgive you. Because a father can forgive his son. A king cannot forgive his subjects. So therefore, one of the advantages of being a son is we can make teshuvah. can make teshuvah. So God told Moshe, "Hazer lahem teshuvah." Tell them that you can make teshuvah, which means tell them you're a son. They can't make teshuvah. God was telling them the answer. The answer to the question is teshuvah. And where does teshuvah go? The rabbis tell you that so great is teshuvah that even if a person was a wicked guy his whole life, teshuvah reaches all the way up to the kisei hakavod. So therefore God says, hold on to the kisei hakavod, which is the location where teshuvah ends up, va'azel lahem, and answer them teshuvah, point to the kisei hakavod. So God was actually winking to Moshe and saying, that's your claim, you're banim. Beautiful. So our claim to the Torah is that we're banim. That's what Rav Elchanan said. We became banim at Matan Torah. Fine. So I'm back to my Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva, you want to tell me Hashem loves you, He called you banim. Why didn't He quote me the pasuk, Bani Bechori Yisrael, in Egypt? Why does He quote me this pasuk, Bani Matem Hashem, don't mutilate your body when somebody dies? Third thing. Habibim Israel, Habibim Israel, the Jewish people are beloved by God. Shinitan lehem kli hamda. God gave us a kli hamda. The Torah is called a cherished, precious article. What's that precious article? The Torah. Now, I want to just explain to you why the Torah is called kli hamda. You wouldn't call the Torah kli. Kli is like a cup, a vessel. A hammer is called the keli, has a function. Even a phone, it's functional. But Torah, you wouldn't call it kli. It's more like a book. So it's a book of instruction. The word kli. Now I understand hamda. Hamda means a precious. It's a precious vessel. That I have no problem with the precious part. But why would you call it kli? What I'm telling you now was said by a great rabbi called Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibarditcher. He said something beautiful. He said that sometimes a person has an inspiration inside of him. He's motivated. All of a sudden, the love of God starts to... He has an urge to do something for Hashem. He has an excitement. So Rav Levi Yitzchak says, don't squander those moments, because those are precious moments in life when a person gets inspired. He says, what do you have to do? You have to put it into an action. Put it somewhere, which means open up a statement and read. Don't just say, oh, I love Hashem. Do something. Go do a mitzvah. Go do chesed. Go learn something. Open up a gemara and learn. Don't squander. So he says, mata'iru umate'oreru et ahava, which means, mata'iru umate'oreru et ahava, when the ahava of God is inspired and motivated, do not let it squander, ad shetahpatz, until you turn it into a hefetz, until you turn it into something material, until you actually turn it into something that's a hefetz. Don't just let the motivation squander. Ad shetahpatz, turn it into a hefetz, turn it into something. If you do something, person wakes up in the morning early, let's say. He always gets up late. One morning, he wakes up 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. Boom! That's a gift from God. You're not tired. Do something. Run to shul. There's the learning in the shul. Go pray sunrise vinyana with the guys. Go pray. Go catch a class. Go. Instead, Hashem gave you a gift when you woke up early in the morning. What'd you do? You went, you played around with your phone, you watched the news, you played a couple of games, you ate some dots, you went, you cut some fruit, and that's it. You went home. He went back to sleep. What a waste. So therefore the pasuk is saying, Mata'iru matru et ahava, at shetahpatz, turn into a hefetz. So Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibarditcher says, inspiration is like a neshama. It's spiritual, an inspiration. You can't put your finger on it. You can't. It's something that's metaphysical. A neshama cannot exist without a goof. For the neshama to have any existence, you gotta put it into a goof. The goof is called kli. The goof is the vessel that holds the neshama. So therefore, the mitzvah is the kli that's able to hold the neshama of the inspiration. So therefore the Torah, which is filled with all these different ideas what to do, is called kli hamda. It's the vessel that whenever you have a inspiration of soul, take that inspiration and put it into the kli.
It's a Kli Hamda. It's a book with great ideas. The Zohar calls the 613 mitzvot 613 ideas. But the ideas that you have to follow. But God's saying, they're good advice. It's ideas that, whether you believe it or not, they're to your benefit. So therefore, take the Ahava and put it in a Kli. What's the Pasuk that Rabbi Akiva uses to show us that God gave us Kli Hamda? You know what Pasuk I would have chosen? The best Pasuk. Torah, Sivananu, Moshe. Could you get a better Pasuk than that? He quotes another one. Ki lekahtov natati lachem. I gave you a good item. Ki lekahtov natati lachem. I gave you a good item. Torati al ta'azov. God says, don't leave it. Well, that's like a rebuke Pasuk. That's not what he's trying to prove over here. Don't leave the Torah. He's trying to prove that God gave us the book. If you're trying to prove us that God gave us the book, Torah Sivan Moshe works. This pasuk is, yeah, I gave you the book, but the main part of this pasuk is, don't leave it. He's not trying to prove don't leave it. He's trying to prove I gave you the book. Why then quote this pasuk? So basically, what I'm really asking is, the three pasukim that he chose, my opinion, there were three better pasukim. Also, to be very clear, I'm wrong. Because if Rabbi Akiva chose these Pesukim, that's the best. So don't think for a second that I'm right. I'm wrong. I'm telling you straight out. The question is, why am I wrong?
But why is he right?
Well, why is he right? You could say it that way also.
Now we start to attack.
Okay, now we start the Dirash.
It's only the engine. Just warming up the engine. You'll go out.
Of course.
Some would have tzitz.
Now there's a rabbi called Netivot Shalom. He says a perush to this Mishnah. He has an overriding question on this Mishnah. What in the world is this Mishnah doing in Pirkei Avot? I mean, the purpose of Pirkei Avot is to teach us ethics, to make us better people. This Mishnah doesn't make us better people. It just tells us, you should know, God calls you, you have a tzedem elokim, whatever that means. You also have a status of a son, and he gave you a book. Okay, three very important facts. By the way, this belongs in the, you know, in the almanac, in the book of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Three facts. God calls the Jewish people, tzedem elokim, banim, and he gave us Kli Hamda. What is this kind of Pirkei Avot? If the purpose of Pirkei Avot is to teach me values, derech eretz, this doesn't do anything. So the Rav says, this Mishnah over here is perfect for our generation. One of the big plagues of our generation, especially the youth, there's big talk on this topic of late, that the children, exactly, they suffer from low self-esteem. You ever hear of this topic? They're talking about low self-esteem. Although that's a new malady. They didn't talk about that in our parents' times and our grandparents' times. There's a reason for sure. Even though you'd say, why should kids have low self-esteem? Why should they have low self-esteem? Do they have everything today? They have relative wealth, society's easy, things are much more comfortable than they were. No, there's no wars, thank God, that we're fighting. We live in relative comfort. Why should the kids suffer? The simple interpretation is there's a lot of I'll say it like this. Self-esteem is built that when a child realizes that he has worth, real worth. Today, however, the children are lied to that they have worth, even though that worth is really not intrinsic. What I mean to say is, today in a very politically correct society, if a kid gets a 20 on a test, they tell him, oh, you're good, everything's fine, for you that's good. So the guy's a failure, he didn't accomplish anything, and they're telling him he's good. So after a certain amount of time where he's being told that he did nothing, and he's still being told that he's a tzaddik, So it doesn't work. He knows that it's a fake. See, in the olden days, self-esteem was easy because people accomplished things. And people had to earn things. When you earn something, you feel good about yourself. You know, you did work. You earned it. You fought for it. You went through a project. Today, the self-esteem doesn't exist because everybody fools each other. The kid does one little dumb thing. Oh, you're a Sadiq. Sadiq, what makes him a Sadiq? Because he did one little item. He came to shul once. Oh, you're a Sadiq, you saw the olam. So there's no feeling of real value. It's not a fluff. So therefore, the kid knows that it's really as little accomplishment. This Mishnah, says the Netivot Shalom, is coming to tell you something much different. Shlomo HaMelech in his Mishle said a Pasuk. The Pasuk is in Mishle. It is in chapter 3, Pasuk 11. Musar Hashem Beni Altemas. It's a Pasuk, easy Pasuk. Musar Hashem, the rebuke of God, my son, don't despise it. Shlomo is telling us, my son, don't despise the Musar of Hashem. If Hashem gives you Musar, accept it. Musar Hashem, Beni, my son, Ya'ibni, Altamas, don't despise it. The Tivot Shalom learns it differently. He learns the Pasuk like this. Musar Hashem. You know what the Musar Hashem is? You know what God's Musar is to us? The biggest Musar, he tells us, Beni. That's the Musa. You're my son. Do you know how valuable you are? You have not fake worth. You have genuine worth. You have real value. You're not counterfeit. You're not just stam. God says, Bini. That's the biggest Musa God tells us. You're the child, you're the prince of God, you're the son of God. And therefore God says, Altim As, don't mess up. Don't fool around. Don't squander it. You know who you are. You know your value. You know the worth that you have. You're not a low worker. You have a pedigree. You have a tremendous yehus. You don't come from some nomads, some lost tribe. Musar Hashem, God says, Bini, you're my son. Therefore, Al Tamas, behave like a son of God. Behave your part. God says, I told you in the Torah, you're my son. Therefore, don't forget that. And that's the biggest Musar. You're Bini. In the parasha that we just read, at the end of the parasha, it's all curses in the parasha. At the end of the curses, God says, the last curse, which usually is the strongest one, God says, you know what else I'm going to do? Zakharti et Beriti Avraham. Ve'af et Beriti Yitzhak. Ve'am et Beriti Yaakov Ezkor. I'm going to remember your fathers Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Says the Megid Beduvna. That's a good thing. Zichut Avot. Why is that a curse? Says the Megid Beduvna that God's two people went into prison. One person, they both stole. The king said, you stay in jail for 2 days. Then we'll let you out. You stay in jail for 1 year. The guy says, why do you have to stay for 1 year? He says, this guy, he stole. His father's a poor man. He stole to eat. I understand why he stole. Your father's a rich man. You had no excuse to steal. Because your father's a rich man, it makes your crime much worse. God says, not only am I going to punish you, but I'm going to remember where you came from. I'm going to remember that your father, you have tremendous parents. This is unexpected from you. This is untolerated. Your father was Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. That makes your crime much worse. So whatever the punishment was till now, once I remember your pedigree, it becomes worse. V'zacharti. That's an onesh. So God says the same thing. Bini, you're my son. Therefore you have value. You're a prince. You're not like everybody else. There's 350 million people walking around. You're Beni. You're not like everybody else. Therefore, Al Tam'as, you have higher standard. Al Tam'as, do not become repulsive. Do not do things that are wrong. Now, if that's the case, this Mishnah is coming to tell us to behave. But you know how it's telling us to behave? It's giving us self-esteem. Ultimately, once you know how important you are, then you know you have to carry yourself differently. The prince is not allowed to talk like the guy in the gutter talks. The person that works for the king, he has a certain standard, the way he has to behave, because he's working on such a high level. So this Mishnah is coming to remind you, you have not fake value, you have intrinsic value. And Rabbi Akiva starts, you know what your first intrinsic value is? You have Tzelem Elokim. You know what Tzelem Elokim means? I didn't intend to explain it tonight, nor do I think I can explain it. You need to sit 3-4 years and learn Kabbalah to know what Tzelem Elokim is. But I'm going to give it to you in 3.5 minutes.
52.
No, this is hard to explain this part. Tzelem Elokim means like this. If you ever learned Kabbalah, we need to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to relate to Him. How could you relate? You can't touch it. So we have to give physical examples, that the only examples there, the only examples. But these examples, at least so we have a hold on it. For example, the Zohar will say that God is Chesed. So they say Chesed represents the right hand. God is also Gevurah, judgment, that's the left hand. God is eternal, that's the right foot. God is glorious, that's the left foot, Nesachot. God is the source of all blessing, that's called Yesod, that's the Brit Milah, which is the source of being fruitful. So therefore, strangely enough, all our body parts actually are words that are related to different characters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means when a person does chesed with his right hand, somehow he's connecting to the upper lights of some sort of correspondence that's called chesed, that connected to the person. That means our body actually, in a certain way, has a semblance, not in physical, but the example that they use to connect us to the upper lights is our body. It means our body was created exactly with the same blueprint as the upper lights of God in that sense. So therefore our bodies have a connection to these lights. So God says, what do you think? You think you're a low life? You know what your body represents? If you only knew when you lift your right hand what that represents in heaven, that you're able to push the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu this way and the judgments of God, and we could control all these midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our behavior. You have Tzelem Elokim. You're not you're a high level person. Therefore, behave the part. You don't have a right to walk around using filthy, dirty tongue. You have no right to walk around being disrespectful to people. You don't. You're not a low person walking in the street in the garbage dump. You have Tzelem Elokim. Rabbi Akiva saying you're Beni Al Tam'as. It's the most appropriate for Pagavotis. What's the motivator to be a good guy? First, you have to know your worth. But if a guy that's the guy, they used to tell us in yeshiva the following mashal. The guy's coming to catch the train, and he's a miskin guy. And he gets to the ticket counter, and they tell him. He said, "I need a ticket. I want to sit in the back, the caboose in the back." He doesn't have money to go. They said, "Well, we have no more caboose tickets. We only have first class tickets." How much is a first class ticket? It's 10 times the price. The guy has to scrounge up every single penny he has. He takes off his cufflinks. He takes off everything. He gives everything to them. He gives them a stamp. Finally, they give him a first class ticket. He's a miskin. He didn't even know what first class is. He takes the ticket, like all his other junky papers, and he puts it in his sweaty palm. And before you know it, it's in his linty pocket. And now he gets on the train, And he's looking around, he sees first class, he's sitting there like a sloppy guy, sitting like this with his feet on the chair. I don't know what that. So now, by the way, the conductor comes and says, for sure, this guy, he's a stowaway. This guy don't belong on the train. He can tell from 100 miles away. So he says, tickets, tickets. The guy puts his hand in his pocket with his smelly hand. He comes out with the ticket. It's all shriveled up already. So the conductor looks and says, do you know what this is? He's going to throw him off the train now. Maybe he saw them. He says, this is a first class ticket. He says, you know, you're sitting in first class. He says, what is he yelling at me for? He says, behave like a first class passenger. Sit straight. Take your hands off the door. Take your feet down. Sit like a human being. That's what God's telling you in the Mishnah. You have Tzelem Elokim. What are you acting like a guy sitting in the back of the train for? You have a value. Oh. Now watch. The next pasuk, Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, not only that, you're the child of God. The Goyim are not called his children. You're called Banim. Not only that, but when God decided to give us his book, which is a piece of him, his knowledge, who did he entrust the book? The book that the angels wanted to keep. So it must be a valuable book. All the Goyim came along and they refused it. At the end, he gave it to the Jewish people. So you might ask, well, he gave it to them. Yeah, but he gave them an option. He didn't give us an option to refuse. He forced us to take the book. You're taking the book. You don't know that it's good for you. I gave them an option to refuse. The Goyim come along and say, how come you didn't force us? I said, I didn't want you to get the book anyway. I wanted them to get the book. Because they're the children of Aram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So when they said no, or they were questioning it, I said, you're getting it anyway. Take the book. Now watch. So the three pesukim over here in the Mishnah are coming to teach you, you're valuable. Now, a Jew might come along and say, yeah, Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim. My body represents the upper world. That's the Kabbalist in Sfat. And I'm not a Kabbalist in Sfat. My body should only know where my body is and what I do with my body. Maybe my body represents the animals in the Bronx Zoo, but my animal, you tell me, represents the Orot Elyonim. That doesn't apply with me anymore. That's the old generations. So Rabbi Akiva wanted to tell the people, what I'm telling you applies forever. If he would have used the pasuk, Na'aseh Adam Betzalmenu, then the people would have said, yeah, when God created Adam, it was Betzalmenu, but not anymore. So therefore he went and he found the pasuk, Shofech Dam Ha'Adam Ba'Adam, Damo Yishafech. That law of murder still applies till today. Ki betzelem Elokim bara et Adam. That even if you made averot, and even if you're low, and just like the law of shofek dam Adam applies till today, tzelem Elokim also applies today. You shouldn't think it expires. That's why he chose that pasuk. Now we get to the next one. Comes along and he says, oh, you're a child of God. Why didn't he bring the pasuk? Bini Bechori Yisrael. Bini Bechori. Because you might say, yeah, at that time when we left Egypt, Bini Bechori, God chose us. But now we call Banim. After all the Averot that we did, and all the mess ups, if anything, we probably got banned from God's table. They probably threw us out. So he comes along and says, Banim atem la'ashem lo tetgodedu velo tasimu korcha b'nekem lamet. That law of not mutilating your body is eternal law. And just like the end of the pasuk is eternal, Banim atem la'ashem is also eternal. No matter what, you can't lose the status. That's very comforting. No matter what averot you did, no matter what mess ups you did, no matter how many times you fell, just like the end of the pasuk, you cannot mutilate. That only applies to a certain generation. No, it applies forever. So he found a pasuk where we're called banim in a pasuk that proves that it's forever. That even if at a certain point you're not behaving like a ben, God says, I'll take it right back. You're still a ben. You cannot lose the status of ben. Thirdly, God says, I gave you the book. Torah sivalanu Moshe. You would have said, yeah, listen, the book was given to us, then we want a high level. But today, you think God cares about our learning? We're on such a low level. We have a hard time understanding the art scroll. The art scroll that was written for the lowest guy, and we need a rabbi to explain us the note in the art scroll. So we come along and say, yeah, the Torah, you think Hashem cares about our Torah is on a low level. That's if we would have brought the Pasuk of Torah Tzivan and Moshe. Instead, what does he bring the Pasuk? God says, Ki lekach tov natati lachem, I gave you a good item. And then what does the end of the Pasuk say? Torati al ta'azovu. Don't leave it no matter when. Don't leave it. So now by the fact that it quotes the Pasuk Torati al ta'azovu, we learn that status of the Torah of Kli Hamda is forever. Therefore, these Pesukim remind us that this self-worth that the Mishnah is promoting to us, Tzelem Elokim, Banim, Kli Hamda, was not temporary. It wasn't for a generation that passed. It wasn't for Tzadikim of yore. No! Tzelem Elohim is just as eternal as Shofech Dama Adam. And Banim Atem Lashem is just as eternal as Lodet Godidu. And Torati, Al Ta'azovu, even at the end of the time before Mashiach comes. The Torah is coming to tell you, as we say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Notena Torah. God gives us the Torah. He didn't give the Torah past tense, Natana Torah. Noten, even to guys like us. Borei Olam says, even to guys who are limited in their understanding, like the rabbi will say, Notena Torah. Give it to them anyway. For this generation, we accept it. And then the Tzvachim concludes with a very comforting hazah. The Beit HaMikdash, it says, they used to have an apparatus that was in the Kodesh Kodashim. It was the cherubs. You know what the cherubs were? They were like two figurines, like images. And these figurines were made out of gold, but they were actually a barometer of the relationship that God has with the Jewish people. Sometimes you walked in, they were facing each other. So you knew God was happy with us, facing each other. You know, when you look at your wife in the face, that means you're good. When you can't look at each other, that means you're fighting. Sometimes you walked into the Kodesh Kodashim, they weren't facing each other. So you knew God's angry. One time one of them was not facing with the other one. So you're able to know right away. Anybody want to know what's God's feelings? Look at the Kodesh Kodashim. He tells the Kohen, oh, what is it? What do you see? Beautiful. Now what happens, he says, Midrash writes, on the day that the Romans or the Babylonians came in, Romans, to destroy the Beit HaMikdash, they went into the Kodesh Kodashim. They went into the Kodesh Kodashim. And you know what they saw? Not only did they see the cherubs looking at each other, they were hugging each other. Which is a shock. We would expect them to be turned, not only turned, but snapped. They should have snapped. Fall to the floor. That's the day God's so angry at us. He's destroying the temple. But God wanted to give us one last message. That even I'm destroying the temple, and even I'm angry, and even though you upset me, but I love you. That love of God will never dissipate. Ahavat olam ahavtanu. Because you're valuable. And that's why I'm so upset at you. Because you're such a high level person, you did all these averot. You're the children of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. You have Tzelem Elokim. You're a ben. You have Keli Hamda. And you did all this. So I'm angry at you because I expect more from you. Musad Hashem, my Musad to you is Beni. Al Tim'as. Don't mess up. And you messed up. But when we left, God didn't want us to think that we're not valuable anymore. Because if God would have given us that sign of pushing away, we went and went into God and said, forget it, he hates us, and if we have nothing to destroy. So when we left the Bavel, we said, look at that, Hashem's still telling us, you're valuable, you're important. You know what we did? We went to Babylonia, we went to Rome, and we flourished in the exile. From that kiss, from that last hug that Hashem gave us, we're still living off that, because it's real. It's not a fake compliment. That's God saying, you messed up and I'm angry. God didn't say, in today's self-esteem world, God would say, you made sins, you did all these abominable things, but I'm not going to destroy the temple because, you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings. Then it would ruin our self-esteem. God says, no. You did Avirot, we're going to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. I still love you because you have value, but you got to punish me. You have to own up to your Avon. Then we realize, yeah, this is real stuff. That because we're so valuable, God had to react in the way He reacted. And that built us up. And therefore, there's no better place to give this idea than Pirkei Avot. Because what's the purpose of Pirkei Avot? It wants you to rise to the occasion of acting in a decent way. And one of the greatest motivations to act in a decent way is to remember, you're a first-class passenger. Therefore, act the behavior, act the act.